You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder and chief automation officer of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business marketing automation, where we teach, where we turn digital marketing professionals and automation service providers. In this episode, I have the pleasure of having our own community member, Rob Drummond, on the podcast. And Rob is the founder of storytellers.com, where Rob focuses on leveraging the art of storytelling in your marketing. And what I love about Rob's background is he's unique for a copywriter because he's got an extensive background in sales and marketing, more specifically marketing technology. So oftentimes when you can blend those two worlds together in one person in their acumen, it makes them a lot sharper, a lot more on point, understanding the context in which they're writing the copy and the end goal that they eventually want the reader to take. So as you listen to this podcast, I want you to pay attention not just to the storytelling and the power of it, but also pay attention to Rob's story on how he stumbled, I'm using air quotes here, onto copywriting. You know, his path was very non-traditional, starting out, you know, in a place where he didn't necessarily know he would end up, and it didn't match. And that's a lot of times your journey. Our story is that we can sometimes think that our first thing is the thing. And you have to really wrestle, allow yourself to be exposed to things and really adventure out and find your way. So before we jump into it, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you subscribe to the All Systems Go podcast. We are everywhere where you can listen to or download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can even subscribe on YouTube. So if this is your first time, make sure you listen to this episode in its entirety and then leave a 5-star rating and review. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so to make sure that you never miss a new episode. Every Thursday, we release a new episode and you'll get the notification bell. So let's get into it with Rob. Rob, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm really great, Chris. And I just want to say at the outset, so like many parents around the world, I am suffering under the relentless chaos of having two small children at home. And so consequently, my podcast listening time has been greatly diminished. And yours is the only show that I actually stay up to date with. And I think that's because every episode, I'm at least reminded of something I know and have forgotten. Yes. And I think you actually managed to make the really unsexy parts really appealing, and that's no small feat. So yes, it's great to be here.
Oh man, I appreciate it, Rob. And you know, having a home office with children is no small feat to maintain productivity. But for those podcasters that are listening, you know the struggle of getting that quiet time and space to be able to record as well. Well, look, man, I'm excited to have you on. I know about you and I've been on your podcast. So it just only seemed right for you to come in and be on mine. So before we get too far into it, explain to the audience about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so my business is Story Copywriters. So I train email marketers to write stories that sell. So the flip side of that proposition is if you're a business owner and you're listening to this, is that we can help you figure out which parts of your story to tell, in what places in your marketing, and ultimately pair you with a copywriter who can actually tell that story if writing isn't your thing. Because ultimately, you know, copywriting is maybe $100 hour of work, and eventually you kind of transcend that and it becomes more valuable to have a writer in your business. So I kind of train writers to provide that service and that skill.
Nice.
I mean, it's okay if I sort of spend a few minutes telling you how that came about, because it's been
I'm interested. Yeah, the backstory is all important, is always important for entrepreneurs who are looking to perhaps follow in those footsteps, you know, or just get more insight on you.
So I've always worked in it's not a coincidence that I've sort of wound up in your community. I mean, I've always worked in and around CRM systems. I'm a sucker for punishment or something, because I keep getting drawn back. Like my very first job was as an 18-year-old was as a marketing intern for a manufacturing company. Mm. And I remember on my first day, my boss Marjorie said to me, "Look, we've got this contact management system. It's called Goldmine. The sales team don't really like it, but it's what we use to manage leads." And even then, at age 18, a little bell rang in my head. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. It's like, if the sales team don't like it, why are we using it? Do they not like the interface? Is the information not useful for them? So I had that in the back of my mind. But one of my jobs in that role was entering data into the system. So we had a big book of contacts at primary care trusts in the UK, which was one of our customer avatars. And one of my jobs was to copy data from the book into the CRM system. And consequently, as a result of doing that mind-numbing task, I knew more about Goldmine than anyone else at the company, and ended up training the sales staff on how to use Goldmine on a day-to-day basis. So that was my sort of route into CRM. After that, I got another marketing intern job for a company called ProspectSoft, who were kind of a competitor of Goldmine, much smaller. They had a niche offer where they integrated to certain UK-based accounting systems. So if you use one of these accounting systems and you needed to get data out of a product file in your accounts into the CRM system so it's visible to customer-facing staff, that was kind of what they did. And I kind of got that role because of my Goldmine experience. And this was kind of, it wasn't quite before email marketing, but it was, we did a lot of direct mail. We used to send mailers out and we would meticulously code each one with a promo code so that when the leads came in, we'd be able to figure out, well, where did they actually come from? So we were doing lead tracking basically, but with direct mail. And then we started doing email marketing, and we used to use, I'm horrified at what we did. We used to use a tool called WorldMerge. We would take a big export. We'd export, all of the prospects, 30,000 prospects out of the database into a CSV file. We'd upload this file into WorldMerge, and WorldMerge would send emails to these contacts through your own internet service provider with no real opt-out mechanism. Like, we wore suits to work, but we might as well have wore pirate hats, I think.
Yeah.
And then one day the sales director came into the office and he complained that they were about to close an £80,000 deal, so about $100,000. So it was a big prospect. And he was saying, the prospect isn't getting my emails, what's going on? And it turned out that our domain had just been blacklisted because of our activity in marketing. And to this day, I have no idea what the IT team did to get that domain unblacklisted, but it was not a fun period of my life.
Wow, they figured it out. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So after that, we ended up integrating to an actual email service provider. So a tool called Communicator, who are UK, it might still exist, I'm not sure. But we basically white labeled Communicator and we integrated it to the CRM system so that our customers bought what was ProspectSoft email marketing, which was actually Communicator. And I used to go out to the client sites and I would train them. I would attempt to train them in one day how to use Communicator. It was like training someone how to use ActiveCampaign in a day. It was just absolutely crazy. Yep. And then I would turn up in the morning and then I would hope, I'm not normally religious, but I would pray that this person was IT competent, that they knew their password.
Yep.
That they weren't doing this, trying to be with the mouse up and down.
Oh man.
So it was great experience. I realized I was underpaid for it. I actually had one client who basically locked me in a room and aired all of their grievances with the CRM system. And I was like, oh man, I'm just here to do the email marketing training. I'm really sorry.
Sorry for your loss, but I'm not even.
Yeah. So after that, I eventually left ProspectSoft. I'd been following people like Perry Marshall, and I decided to go it alone. I figured that, how hard could it be? So I set up a business as a Google Ads consultant. Kind of by accident, I went to business networking meetings, and that was what people told me they were struggling with was Google Ads. So not much has changed in some respects. And so I built up a small AdWords agency. And one of the things I did to get clients was I created a lead magnet called How to Waste £1,000 on Google AdWords in No Time Flat. And actually, I think to this day, the reason that the syntax of that title, I think, is still quite good. It's how to waste a certain amount of money on your topic in a time frame.
Yeah.
Just jumping ahead a bit, I actually created, when I started selling Confusionsoft later on, I created a lead magnet called Confusionsoft, 5 easy ways to let Infusionsoft burn a hole in your credit card.
It's a different angle, right?
Yeah.
Classic copywriting.
And then eventually I had a tap on the shoulder from the Infusionsoft brand police who politely but firmly asked me to stop promoting it. Yeah. Anyway, I was promoting this lead magnet, How to Raise £1,000 on Google AdWords, No Time Flat. And what happened after that was people were added into an AWeber email marketing sequence, and there were about 15 emails in that sequence. And in that email sequence, I just told stories. I introduced me. It wasn't particularly well thought out, but I just told stories. And I noticed that there were two types of clients that I would get. One type of client was people who just found my website. They wanted to organize a call, find out how much I cost, find out what my hourly rate was. I actually had calls with people who just wouldn't accept that I didn't have an hourly rate. I just don't. And then there were another type of clients who sat on the email list. They went through the email series, and eventually at some point they were like, yeah, you know what? I trust this guy. I'm going to organize a call. They were far more respectful. They actually used, I think I used TimeTrade as my scheduling. I've always used a scheduling tool.
Yep.
I used
TimeTrade back in there. It was back then, Rob, it was only TimeTrade and Schedule Once were like the top schedulers, you know?
So I used TimeTrade, and they actually used the TimeTrade, and they actually showed up on time, and they were respectful of it, and they didn't haggle so much. I was like, oh, this is like night and day. It's like, well, the difference was the emails and the stories and the trust that had been built up in those emails. So things were going quite well. And then one day I watched a presentation by Jermaine Griggs, who talked through how he organized his hear and play systems and how he, built recency, frequency, and money throughout his database. And I watched his presentations, and my jaw hit the floor. And I was like, you know what? That's infinitely better than what I'm doing in AWeber. And I made an emotional decision on that day to just ditch my current systems and sign up for Infusionsoft. And I wish I'd known you at that point, Chris, because I really needed someone to like tap you on the shoulder and say, calm down for the needs of your current business and your current strategy. Your system, I was using AWeber, and I was using AW Pro Tools, which was an add-on that Jack Bourne developed.
Jack Bourne.
So I was just moving people from one list to another, you know, when they, after the time trade, they would move to another list. So, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. So I decided to jump into Infusionsoft, and because I'm, an impulsive, I tend to jump into things with both feet. So I not only bought Infusionsoft, I also signed up for the Infusionsoft partner training without any real concept of what I was going to do at the end of it. It just seemed like a good idea. And I went down to London and I did the partner training and I signed up as a partner. And so I ended up with a business that was not only selling Google Ads, I was selling Google Ads, I was selling Infusionsoft, I was implementing Infusionsoft services, I was doing too many things. One of my first Infusionsoft clients was a company that trained mountain guides, and they were using Infusionsoft. And from an automation sense, they weren't doing anything that clever. It was just a sequence. And there were about 50 emails in this sequence. And they just told stories. And they told stories about the experience of being on the mountain and how the founders got into it. And this was a very expensive program. This was, invest $100,000, go off to Patagonia for 3 years and learn how to become, a really great mountain guide and build a new career, escape the office, that sort of thing. And it was working, and they weren't doing anything fancy, but I realized it was the stories that they were telling in between. So I kind of helped them expand on those stories. So I would interview the business owner and then write up the interview and then pull out different things that he told me anecdotally. And I was like, oh yeah, we've got to create an email out of this one. Yeah. We added that into the sequence, and it freed up his time to kind of do other stuff because he was busy. So I just noticed as well, it's like there's the stories there again. But at that point, I still thought that storytelling was like a dark art, that you either had it or you didn't, that you couldn't systematically, you know, teach it or decode it. Mm-hmm. I follow a master called Sean D'Souza, who runs Psychotactics, and okay. He was running a storytelling course over in Amsterdam. So I thought, well, I'll go. So I went to this course in Amsterdam, and I think there were about 15 people at this course, and we'd all turned up. Most of us were writers in some way or the other, some copywriters, some authors. And it became very clear to me that Sean had a process he was able to teach. And we all went through this. It was a 3-day course. It impacted my thinking about this greatly. We all made the same mistakes. We all stumbled in the same places, and we all emerged with the same skill. And I was like, well, that's great, because I can now decode anyone actually can write storytelling. And I realized that actually we're all storytellers. Everyone in that room was a storyteller, because we're all human.
Yeah.
And so I got home, I combined Sean's ideas with some of my own. I ran what there was my first work group, which was the prototype of my current offer. And I worked through that with like 3 students. I just got a few people on my list to sign up for it. And they went through the steps, and about halfway through the course, I said, okay, write me an email. And they all felt, I basically saw tumbleweed kind of blow across my screen. So, you know, we kind of made some changes to the process, and that was 4 years ago. So since then, I've been kind of running people through the course, refining the process, working with business owners as well to help them tell their story. So there's a process for that, extracting their story, getting it into a usable form. One development that we've had in the last year, actually from listening to your podcast, has been using Airtable to kind of organize, document, and tag stories that you might want to tell. So you've got this Airtable of stories. So actually, for every copywriter you hire in the future, you don't have to brief them. You don't have to spend hours briefing them all over again, telling them your story. You just send them the Airtable. It's already there. So that's the direction that we're going in. So it's been a long road, but
this is really good, Rob, and I'm glad that you shared it. Because oftentimes, especially when people are getting started, 2 mistakes they make. One is you look in your beginning, you look at somebody else's finish and you compare the two. And it's like, hey, look, this person is making $10,000 a week and you're just getting started out, and you compare their finish to your start. Yeah. Right. So it skews it. We all do it. I did it. But the second piece is you have to be willing. You know, when I listen to your story, Rob, you were willing to do beyond what was required, right? And explore other areas. It's one of the things that served me well when I was at startups. You know, yeah, I'm in marketing and I'm leading these departments, but I always ventured over into the graphic designers and the engineers and the finance folks just to see, because you never know. One exposure to an area of life and in business can change your path forever for the better. Yeah. You know, so for you to be able to say, hey, look, well, how can I improve the salespeople's life? I'll just do this. And then from that, you're now training these people on the job, which is building a muscle towards technology. So when you start to continue to navigate through your career and you end up at storytelling, as a copywriter, you're this really unique person because you've got this technical background, because you are willing to just figure it out. And I think not enough people commit to the process of figuring it out. They want the one trick pony that works now. And if it doesn't work now, they're like, okay, I'm done, because this is what I was supposed to do, instead of letting that experience inform them, you know, to get closer to what they could become or do.
I think it's about having an all-around holistic approach and then a specific thing that you do. Yeah. And unless you've gone down all of these different rabbit holes and spoken to the different departments, you can't have the holistic approach. Yeah. And that the holistic approach is what makes you a better problem solver, because you see the bigger picture as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes an open mind. So one of the reasons why I wanted you on the podcast was because I feel like copywriters are not valued enough early enough in business. Okay. And for automation to work, your messaging has to work. Okay. You know, I talk about data, you know, there's no automation without information, and marketing being the bloodline of your business, and your marketing should be automatically fed through your system. Right. So I've got all these sayings around automation, but one area that I haven't highlighted enough is messaging. And here's my experience with messaging. When I started at Lead Pages, I could care less about copy. In fact, Rob, I didn't even know copy was called copy. Yeah. People kept saying copy. I was like, what? Copy what? What? Like, literally, like, what am I supposed to be copying? Until you learn it. And Clay, the CEO of Lead Pages, at the time, Clay was obsessed with great copywriters. Not good, not better than average, but great copywriters. And the one specific, her name is Kat Von Raw. She was the primary copywriter when I started. And Rob, if I could explain the length of scrutiny, every email, every landing page, every form of copy that touched the public eye, it had to be perfect, right? Yeah. And as an automator, I'm just like, look, just give me the email. I'm ready when you are. Just send it over. You know, I'm ready to build, man.
Yeah.
But there's all these checks and balances. And I never quite understood it till later when I matured in my marketing at Lead Pages. But from landing pages to everything, he just gave a certain level of detail. And he would say it all the time. If you want a successful business, get copywriters. Get somebody to write the copy, and you will be amazed at how much easier success is to be found. And it's to be true. If I talk about segmentation, what good is segmentation and you being able to send a targeted message to anybody in your database at the right time if that message isn't effective? And I think it's a big black hole. Let me not say black hole. I think it's a big oversight for marketers who can buy software inexpensively, can get free tools, right? And can get results without some level of investment. But when it comes to their messaging, they're just like, oh, I'll write my own emails, or, oh, I can do that. Or, you know, they'll try to copy and paste some other guru's emails. So copywriting is extremely important. When did you realize that, you know what, this funnel stuff people are talking about, it doesn't work without copy? When was that aha for you?
Well, I'm a writer, so I've always had that, because as a writer, I love the sound of my own beautiful voice in prose. So I've always had that opinion that the writing is what sells. I have two comments on what you just said. One is that there are lots of people looking for magic solutions and buying things. I don't know if we want to pick on particular marketers, but buying people like Frank Kern's cash machine. I've had a number of clients who've bought that system, and it's a perfectly good system in terms of the structure that it provides, but it comes preloaded with emails. And what I've seen for the clients that I work with, especially UK-based clients, is that those emails do not work for a UK-based audience, because it isn't your voice. Wow. I'm like, you know what? You could switch your content. You could keep the structure, because the structure is good. In terms of the progression that it pushes people to, but it's got to be your voice. The other thing that people do is, like, let's say you've just segmented your database and you're ready to go and send people an email, and it's like the emails almost get written as an afterthought, and it's like, yeah, you open up the email editor in Infusionsoft or ActiveCampaign, and it's the blank screen, and it's too late. It's like at that point you've already lost.
Yeah.
So I've spent a number of years as a Google Ads consultant, and actually a mistake people make in Google Ads is writing ads in the AdWords interface. It's like you have to assemble the raw materials before you open the AdWords interface, otherwise it's not going to work. So I guess to answer your initial question, it's like, I guess I've always kind of, I don't know, I'm a writer, I've always believed that the copy is kind of first. I kind of view marketing as a communications solution. It's a solution to the problem of distance. Because if you were like an artisan and we're all trading locally and you didn't travel anywhere, you wouldn't need marketing, because you would just speak face to face. Whereas as soon as like the railway and the telegram came along, you could suddenly sell to people who were, say, a train ride away in Liverpool instead of Manchester or wherever it is. Mm-hmm. So suddenly you couldn't be face-to-face, so you had branding, you had to brand the products. So now we're all on Zoom calls, we're in different parts of the world, and you know, everyone's got like a personal profile, and it's like, well, people have to also trust you. So the need for marketing is now probably more greater than it ever was, especially in this year where suddenly more people are now, you know, doing stuff online, I guess.
No, that's 100% accurate. And when I think about it, Rob, you know, the connection between writing copy or messaging in your marketing, one of the things comes to light that you focus on, and that is storytelling. I think that storytelling is so fundamental that people just look over it. And a lot of people are looking for tricks and tactics and catchy headlines that they don't understand the true power of story. But I was always told, even from birth, the first thing that a child remembers is through stories. So from Dr. Seuss books, or, you know, when you reading these books that your parents would read to you, we naturally gravitate to stories. That's why movies are big. That's why, you know, a good book is irreplaceable in anybody's life. Yet, when you turn on the marketing, the story takes a back seat, and we try to persuade, you know, we try to convince, we try to monetize. When speak for a moment on the power of storytelling and some of the results that you've seen when people implement it within their marketing.
I think it's the difference between rational thoughts and emotional thoughts. And there's this assumption that, you know, prospects opt in and you send them your best information and they will consume that information and they will decide to buy. And that's true. That's only true for a subset of people who are already very close to buying. For the people who are a little bit further away, there's an emotional decision that has to happen first. And for some products more than others, I think for, like, you know, coaching services, for instance, that is quite, it's ultimately always an emotional purchase, and that the emotion has to precede the rationality, and we justify it later on. So you still need, the story doesn't replace the content, but it has to kind of come before the content for someone to emotionally decide, yes, I trust this guy or I trust this person. And I buy into what they're doing. So yeah, that's kind of how that. I also kind of think that storytelling is the oldest way that knowledge gets passed along from human generation to human generation. This predates. I think this even predates, you know, written language. I've got a section in my book about when the first humans arrived in Europe. There were already a species of human called Neanderthals who were already here. Effectively, Neanderthals were better suited to the cold environment. They were bigger than us. They in theory had better resources. But Homo sapiens survived, Neanderthals didn't. I was like, well, why is that? Obviously we don't know, and it's pure speculation, but there have been there was a lion man carving that was found preserved in a bog in Slovakia. And they've carbon dated this lion man, and it dates from about 30,000 BC. Mm. And they also found another lion man in another bog in Germany somewhere, about 30 kilometers away. So these two identical lion men 30 kilometers away. And it's like, well, that's shared. It's shared symbols, shared understanding, and probably a shared culture, shared through art. And it's like, well, this isn't just, I think storytelling was once a core survival technique. It's how we pass knowledge from one generation onto another, which is why, you know, when a story comes along, we pay attention to it. It's what gets your attention. It's like, we're so wired for stories. And I think that's why, it's the way that we would have learned and do learn. It's just that in our sort of Western, highly rationalized perspective on the world, we've kind of lost track of that a bit. So I think that's why it tends to get sidelined. I think in terms of results, I think a few come to mind. I think probably the mountain training school that I mentioned, where they were sort of taking completely cold prospects and saying, hey, are you bored at the office? Do you like rock climbing? You know, come and change your life. we'll take you to Patagonia. And, you know, they built a really successful business. They were doing cold banner ads on Google Display Network, adding people to Infusionsoft who didn't know them. And then they were generating, you know, they obviously had an offline sales process where people would apply because they wanted to make sure people were right for the program. But, you know, it was a significant, you know, $100,000 investments. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this stuff works.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we talk, you know, about this stuff, and it's really about that like, know, and trust factor. Right. What have you seen about storytelling that just really disarms people? Because I feel like, here's what I feel like, Rob, when you can tell somebody's trying to get you to like them, trust them, or know them, it has the opposite effect on a lot of people. Some people are just blind. They don't know. They're just like, oh, I just like them, you know. But for most people, even if they're not aware of it, there's like this unconscious bias to not trust, right? When I know you're trying to make me trust you, you come off as inauthentic, right? When I know you're trying to make me like you, I don't want to like you, you know? So it appears, you know, on the surface to me that storytelling does some disarming of some magnitude. Is that what you've seen in terms of how it is perceived on the receiving end?
Yeah, because you can't trust anyone who's flawless and perfect, because we all know that we're not flawless and perfect. So so it's the vulnerability behind an authentically told story. So I see a lot of stories in marketing being used as a bit of a gimmick, where it's like an attention grab. You see these Facebook ads, it's some guy standing in front of a helicopter that he's just hired, and it's a rags to riches story. It's like, oh, I was so poor. I was on my last, you know, $3 eating beans out of the tin, and then I discovered this secret, and for just your email address, I will share my simple secret with you. And I'm like, I don't trust you. it's not authentic. And I think this ties into a point where I think you have to consider the placement of these stories as well, because you can only tell your personal story to someone once they have your attention, which means that things like podcasts are quite a good way of doing it. Email is a good way of doing it, because email is a warm medium. You know, people opt in, they confirm their email address, they already opt in for something else, and then you tell them your story. Yeah. It doesn't really work on Facebook ads unless you're doing Facebook retargeting ads. It can work.
Sure.
You know, it's like if you just walk down like the busy high street and you start interrupting people and you start telling them your personal story, people are going to think you are absolutely nuts. Yep. Whereas if you just met someone and you met them in the high street, you've agreed to go to a coffee shop for a drink with them, they've consented, they've agreed to go to that coffee shop with you, and they're interested in what you have to offer, then that's the time that you tell the story and build the trust. So you don't necessarily just lead and bamboozle people with this. You know, I think on a recent podcast episode, you were talking about growth levers. And I think for the right business, this is a growth lever. It's not one that you pull repeatedly every time. it doesn't have the same effect. You know, once you've told it, you know, people kind of get a bit bored of it. It's like, you're still telling the story, Chris.
Right.
anyone selling trust, anyone selling based on trust, I think anyone who has their photo prominently on their website, so thinking of you in your blue suit on the website, it's like, anyone like that, it's like, who's the guy behind the suit? That's what I want to know when I saw this thing.
That's good, right? The person behind the presentation.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that often in the email series that I've helped people create, there's always a voice of the email series. And normally it's the founder. If it's a one person business, then it's de facto, you know, that person is the voice of the emails.
Bit more
complex if it's a group of founders, if it's a slightly bigger company, who do you put as the voice of the business? So I've been doing a bit of work recently with a software company. And the stories that we've been telling we're mostly telling the primary founder story, but we're also including some stories from the other founders to kind of bring them out of the shadows and showcase some of their background, some of their expertise, some of what else is going on in the background of who else is behind this product. Because ultimately it comes back to know, like, and trust again. It's like, you can only invest in something. And you're more, you know what, if you invest in some software, especially if it's relatively new software like this, you're more likely to be more forgiving of some of the bugs and some of the issues. Sure, if you sure. understand the story, you know, you yeah. just give people a bit more time. So.
Absolutely. No, this is great. And again, it's a great reminder for those who are a bit more savvy in marketing. And it's a great introduction to the importance of copywriting, and not just copywriting, but storytelling in your copywriting. As we close out here, Rob, what are you up to, and where can people connect with you?
Yeah, so I've had a course available for a few years called Nurture Email Mastery, which teaches email marketers how to write stories that sell. So what I'm doing this year is I'm changing things around. So we're going to do a live cohort. So the course isn't currently available, but we're going to be doing a live cohort where we take on a group of students. So effectively, you will go through the current course, but you'd have more access to me in the live training. And we're also going to pair people up into accountability partners, because it's the accountability to actually keep people writing, especially when you're also running a business. I've sort of seen that this is a valuable skill for business owners. There's a lot of business owners who are taking out the trash and trying to outsource their copy. It's like, it should be outsourcing the trash and writing your own copy until your business hits a particular level when there's a growth lever somewhere higher up that you can pull. So we're running that this spring. I'm just finalizing dates on that. But yeah, if you're okay with me leaving a link, that's...
Yeah, absolutely. We'll include it in the show notes. We'll include the resource in the show notes.
It's storycopywriters.com. And if people follow the links on that page, there's more information.
Great. Well, Rob, again, thank you for coming on to the podcast and helping us, okay, collectively, really shine the light on storytelling and copywriting that it should. Again, everybody who's listening, it's hard to find a good copywriter. It really is. So when you find one that not just, you know, Rob, again, you've got some technical chops too. So you can write from the perspective of their voice and also understanding how it's going to be sent out. Okay, well, if it's 2 days between this one, you'll want to do this. Or, you know, like that's rare, man.
You can never disentangle questions of implementation to the copy. One always raises the other. And then when I train copywriters or train business owners to tell their story, the next question is, what email system should I use? Invariably. So you can't completely pull them apart.
We're eternally intermingled. they will not be compartmentalized, and really they shouldn't. So anyways, thanks again, Rob, for coming on to the podcast, man. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it's great. Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. Did you enjoy hearing Rob's story as well as the power of storytelling? I'm going to tell you this. Rob is not going to be the last copywriter and the last professional that we have on this podcast about storytelling. I think that it is so instrumental to master this art, not just in your email, everybody, but on your website and in any type of messaging that touches your customer, your prospect, your audience. You really need to master the art of harnessing storytelling, because it's just so innate. It's just so natural from children. We talked about it in the podcast. We're just drawn to stories. So expect to hear about more of this from more professionals going forward. Furthermore, who needed to hear this? Who has unclear messaging? When you go to their website, you just can't figure out what they do. On the flip side, who has really strong messaging? When you go to their website, it just communicates so clear, like, wow, they really do a good job with drawing me in and explaining clearly exactly what they do and how it benefits. Share this with both of them. Share this with both. For the latter, this will be affirming. It will give them confidence in knowing, okay, we made the right decision going this way with how we display our story on our website. But more so for those who are struggling a bit, finding your voice, finding your story and how to tell it in a compelling way, make sure that you share today's podcast with them. All right. Now, here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated. I would say it's my life's work. It's my life's work to train digital marketing professionals to navigate more accurately in the small business and enterprise space. And providing the service of automation is a skill that is becoming more and more high demand. So small businesses, these small businesses and enterprises are in dire need of marketers that have that ability. Okay. And if that's you, if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, man, that's what I want to do. I want to build these systems. I want to connect with a copywriter and take their copy and put it in a system to display it to the masses in an automated fashion. Well, that's a telltale sign that you may have what it takes to become an automation service provider. So if you want to talk to somebody on my team and really start to fill out if our program would be a good fit for you, if you're looking to start a career or have a agency, or you just want to be a professional at marketing automation, there's really one place to go, and you're already here. So if you want to take the next step and again, talk to somebody from my team or myself to see if our program will be a good fit to get you on the path to becoming an automation service provider and potentially certification, I want you to go to automationbridge.com/ASP. That's automationbridge.com/ASP. Listen, the time is now. The time is now. I'm looking for people who know what they want to do. They know where they want to go, and they're ready to go. They're ready to go. There's no convincing on my part. There's no selling. There's no tactics and persuasion. This is simply, you know what you want, and I know I have the vehicle to get you there. So I'm looking forward to connecting with any of you who say, hey, look, my hand is raised, Chris. Just show me the way. I just showed you the way. automationbridge.com/ASP. All of the show notes and any resources mentioned in this podcast are all available at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and listen to all the other episodes at your leisure. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.